Welcome back to Issues Etc. Here in the second hour, we continue our sermon analysis, reviewing a sermon by Pastor Bart Day, Associate Pastor of Memorial Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas. Now, when we conclude our sermon review, we're going to be doing a little bit more open lines. I want your answer to this question. Do you think that Christianity, as it is featured in primetime television, think about it, Highway to Heaven, Touched by an Angel, Seventh Heaven, Joan of Arcadia, all of these have Christian themes in them. Some of them are overtly, the premise of the show has a Christian theme in it. Is it good for Christianity? Is it bad for Christianity? Is it neutral? When you see these religious themes on primetime, what's your reaction? Do you say, oh no, not again? Do you say, oh boy, they're actually taking up a religious theme, I'm so excited? Or do you say, eh, and go get yourself another cup of coffee? That's your question. I want your answer during open lines in about 20 minutes here on Issues Etc. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. I know everybody's got an opinion on this one, and everyone's seen these programs at one time or another, so I want to hear from you then. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Now, so far, so good in Pastor Bart Day's sermon on John 14. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I remember in the seminary, they taught me, preach the text. And at first I thought, what does that mean? I remember the guy saying, use the language of the text. And I thought to myself, well, that seems kind of obvious. Is that what good preaching is? Yes, it is. And this is a good example of that. You know where he learned this? You know where Pastor Bart Day learned this? To the best of my knowledge, I think he graduated from Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. They taught him to preach the text, to stay with the language of the text. And you do that looking for Christ in every word, in every line, and you will preach the cross. I remember them also teaching us that Scripture preaches itself. If you just get out of the way and let the text speak, the cross shines through clear, and it has so far in this sermon. If you'd like more information on Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, where they're cranking out pastors like Bart Day, they're not preaching generic gods for generic virtues, but Christ and Him crucified for sinners, you can call them 1-800-481-2155, 1-800-481-2155, or go to our website, issuesetc.org, and look for the picture of Kramer Chapel on the homepage. You can't miss it. It's a tall, pointy affair. Kramer Chapel logo, click on that, and you will find more information on Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, or 1-800-481-2155. All right, so far, the dilemma of monism has been laid before us in this sermon. The world is perfectly happy to hear us talk about a generic God, about family, about generic virtues. They have no problem with that. Where Christians run into trouble is when they get into the specifics of their faith. And when they start identifying that God as the one who has revealed Himself in the person and work of Jesus Christ, His Son incarnate in human flesh on a cross, in a tomb, and alive again after 3 days. That's where we run into trouble. Now, the one danger in this sermon, and I think he's avoided it so far, but let's continue to listen. The one danger in this sermon might be that we spend time talking about this message without delivering the message. That is, okay, this is all fine and good, and I know that monism is a bad thing, and he's not done with that, by the way. And I know that Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the life, but how do I know that he's the only way, truth, and life? And how do I know that when he's on that cross paying for sins, he's paying for my sins? Let's listen.
By way of suffering, death, resurrection. And we are not in the driver's seat of our lives. God is. And he knows perfectly well where he wants to take us. Jesus knows the way to eternal life. He is in the driver's seat. Left on our own, we'd wind up in the ditch or spun around heading south instead of north. For we are born headed the wrong way. We are hell-bound children of wrath instead of heaven-bound children of God, turned away from our Father's house instead of pointed toward it. But Jesus does more than just show us the way. He is the way. He is the path to heaven. He is the highway to the Father. Our good works, our sufferings, our holiness, our prayers are not the way. Jesus' works, His suffering, His holiness, His prayer, these things are the way. But Jesus is much more than a way shower. Moses was a way shower. The law shows us the way to live before God our Father and the way to live in love toward our neighbor. But Jesus is the way. No one has ever ascended into heaven but he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. Jesus is the only bridge across the gap from death to life, the only path to lead us through the wilderness of this world, the only ladder that spans from earth to heaven. He is the only mediator between God and man, the one who joins earth and heaven together, God and man, together forever as one in His own body. The Old Testament temple gave us a beautiful picture of that very thing. In the temple there was a very heavy curtain separating the people from God's presence inside the Holy of Holies. The curtain stood there at the very threshold between earth and heaven. It was the only way that the people could gain access into God's gracious and loving presence. And so to enter into God's presence, the high priest had to part the curtain and then pass through it. When Jesus was crucified, St. John in his Gospel tells us that the curtain was torn in two from top to bottom. It no longer stood there as the threshold between earth and heaven. For now, the crucified body of Jesus joins earth and heaven together, so that there is now a new and, in fact, a living way to God the Father through the resurrected and crucified Jesus in His flesh. We have access to the Father only through the Son. We enter eternal life with God the Father through that Son. That's what it means for Jesus to be the way. For all other ways of this world lead to hell and darkness and utter damnation. On every other path, you will never be certain if you have done enough, if we've been perfect enough, meditated enough, prayed enough, done enough good works. On the way called Jesus, there are no such concerns, because He was made to be our sin so that we might become His righteousness.
I want to pause at this point because he's made a point there, and I don't want him to get too far from it before I highlight it for you here. I talked before about preachers who will say, you know, we don't know that Jesus is the only way. He is the only way we know of. There might well be another way of salvation. And I said, that has the false virtue of sounding tolerant and broad-minded in this day and age. But if we take Christ's words seriously, what Pastor Day has just said ought to ring very, very strongly in our ears. He said, all other ways, there are other ways that men can take, but they don't lead where they think they lead. There is a way that seems right unto a man, but that way leads unto death, says Scripture. I just want you to hear this again. Pastor Day said, all other ways apart from Christ, whatever they may be, lead to hell, darkness, and damnation. You see, when you hear a preacher say, well, you know, Jesus is the only way we know of, there might be another way. Two things are being said. I don't know if the preacher intends to say this, but this is what they are saying. whether they intend to say it or not. They're saying that if it isn't the perfect works of Jesus Christ that gets you to heaven, and that's the only way, then there must be some other way. Someone else's works must also be sufficient other than Jesus's. Maybe yours. Maybe someone. Who? Buddha? Buddha? Dalai Lama? Who else? You see, when Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, he is saying, I am the only one who has satisfied God's justice for you. For a preacher to, or anyone to say, well, you know, there might be another way, they're actually saying, well, someone else has also satisfied God's, we don't know who it is, but they might be out there. Someone else who's actually lived a perfect life for all sinners. If you stop and think about it, for a Christian to say, well, there might be another way, is tantamount to denying the faith. It is. I know that it sounds tolerant and broad-minded, but it is a denial of Christ. It is, in effect, saying Jesus isn't the way. You see, either Jesus was right or he isn't. He's either the way or he's a liar, and there must be some other way. But the thing that really makes that broad-minded, tolerant way of thinking so dangerous is that people are actually pointed away from Christ to some other way. And Pastor Day is correct. All other ways, all those ways that seem right unto a man, lead to nothing other than hell and darkness and damnation. In the name of being tolerant and broad-minded and being thought open-minded, preachers are showing people the wrong way.
Walking on the way named Jesus by faith means perfection. His righteousness constantly covering us, his blood continually forgiving us. The good works we do are not done to get into heaven, but they are offered as a thank offering to God and our neighbor, because we are heaven bound for Jesus' sake. And so it is that Jesus sets us on the way in the water of our baptism. It is there that he joins us to himself, joins us to his death and resurrection, so that the life we now live, we live by faith in him. We are something like the children of Israel, whose backs were pressed up hard against the Red Sea and Pharaoh's army was hot on their heels, who crossed through the parted sea on the narrow way of dry ground. The enemies of this world pursue us constantly. The way called Jesus is not the way of an easy life or a carefree one. Jesus is not to be seen as a detour around suffering, pain, even death. Instead, he is the only way through it all, the way to eternal life. Every other way in this world that promises life is nothing but a counterfeit way that ultimately winds up in death. Only Jesus promises a death that ends up in life. And so again, like the children of Israel, having been baptized in the Red Sea, we long for true sustenance as we travel through this world. They needed food on their journey, and God the Father abundantly provided manna and quail to sustain them on their way. Your fathers ate manna and died, Jesus said, but he who feeds on this bread will live forever. In the midst of our heavenward pilgrimage, Jesus chooses to feed us. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Here is the way, because there is Jesus.
Now, I want you to, I don't know this, but I suspect this at this point in the sermon, where Pastor Day is pointing. I didn't have any visuals on this. I was only listening to it. When he says, here is the way because there is Jesus, and he's just quoted Jesus, who eats my flesh and drinks my blood, has eternal life. I think he's pointing to the altar. He's already mentioned baptism. Now, I said before that I was hoping that Pastor Day would not only tell us what Jesus has done for us, but tell us that it is for us that Jesus has done this. You say, what's the difference? Well, it's one thing to talk about Jesus 2,000 years ago, doing what he did, and saying, this is for everyone. It's another thing to say, this is for you, and this is how you know it's for you, specifically for you, that Jesus died. He mentioned baptism. This is exactly how Paul treats baptism when he talks about it in the book of Romans. Don't you know that every one of you, he's not talking about some mass of people, no specifics, each and every one of you who were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Paul is saying, don't you realize how Jesus' death and resurrection came to you, how you were incorporated into his death and into his resurrection? Every one of you who were baptized into him, and he says it elsewhere in different ways, have been clothed with Christ. The last time I checked, when God puts clothes on us, he doesn't gather us all into a big group and put one giant coat around all of us. Each and every one of us gets their own set of clothes. I mean, that's how we wear clothes. We don't share clothes with other people trying to fit into the same shirt. No, God clothes each and every one of us in the death and resurrection, the same death and resurrection of the same Christ. But when Jesus died, he didn't just die for sinners in general. He died for you, for me. How do we know this? Because he gives it to us individually, each and every one of us, not apart from one another, but to each of us through baptism. And he's also mentioned the Lord's Supper there. In other words, fine and good that the cross took place, but how does it get to me? How do I know that this forgiveness that Christ purchased in his body is for me? Now, there's just a few seconds left here in the sermon by Pastor Day, Associate Pastor of Memorial Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas. Let's hear how this rounds off.
I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Oh, it is true that the way to heaven is littered with death and decay. But here in his Holy Supper, here at this altar, at this table, we dare to proclaim his death until he comes again. For our Christ Jesus lives. He lives to give himself for us. He lives to give himself to us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
So ask yourself this question. We started with our diagnostic. Remember the diagnostic. How often is Jesus mentioned? Is he the subject of the verbs? And if he is, what are those verbs? How did this sermon fare? This diagnostic works for good sermons and bad sermons. Or to put it in a simple way, and the reason we have the diagnostic for these sermon reviews in the first place, the reason we do the reviews is so that when you listen to any other sermon, you will be asking yourself this question. Who is this sermon about? Who is this about? You see, you can be pretty sure if you've gotten through an entire sermon and Jesus hasn't been mentioned, it wasn't about him. It was about you, which would automatically disqualify it as a Christian sermon, a Christian message, because Christ wasn't anywhere to be found. Or if you have a sermon that mentions Jesus, but he's always on the receiving end of everything you do, it's still a sermon about you, not about Jesus. And it's not a Christian sermon. Oh, it might be preached by a Christian, it might be heard by Christians, but the sermon itself has to have Christ. Or the preacher might mention Jesus, and he might even have him as the subject of the verbs, but if Jesus is just a 12-volt battery that powers your life, that makes you better than you were before, that's not the Jesus of Scripture. Jesus isn't here to turbocharge our lives so that we can barrel through the troubles that we face. He isn't just a higher octane of what we already have. He's not a power source. He's the source of life. He is our life. Or as Pastor Day put it so well, Jesus does more than just show us the way. He is the way. So the basic question remains. For this sermon, I think, Pastor Day, it's obvious, if you miss Jesus in this one, then you probably didn't have your radio on, or maybe you were asleep. If you missed him as the subject of the verbs, I suggest you go back into your third grade grammar and look up what it means. If you miss those verbs, everything that Jesus has done, sacrificed, suffered, died, forgives, shows mercy, all of those comforting words of the gospel, you couldn't have missed it. And in answer to the question, who was this sermon about? I think we can safely conclude it certainly wasn't about me or you. We came into the picture only as those for whom Jesus needed to die. This is a sermon about Christ. That is what every Christian sermon ought to be. I want to thank Pastor Bart Day of Memorial Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas, and kudos to Pastor Bill Swirla for the bit of inspiration he provided for that sermon today.
It is written in the Bible that one day the world will come to an end.
Christ will reappear, stalked by the Antichrist.
Could that day be here?
You have all made your deals with the devil and he has come to be paid.
Revelations premieres next on NBC.
Have you heard that promo on NBC for that series, Revelations? It's been running here. We talked about it when it first ran. Now, it was part of a feature article in the arts and entertainment section of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch on Sunday. Now, when we come back from this break, I want your answer to this question. The headline reads, TV seeks religion, NBC risky revelation tries to break through the taboo. And then there's a whole list of all these different primetime television programs, miniseries, whatever they may be, that have religion as their theme. How does religion fare on primetime television? Is it good for religion, bad, or neutral? How does Christianity fare? Is it good for Christianity to have these themes featured on primetime television? When you watch it, do you say to yourself, oh no, they're trying to do the Christian thing again? Or do you say, oh good, they're trying to do a Christian thing again? Or do you say, they're trying to do a Christian thing again, what else is on? Your answer to that question, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Your phone calls after this break. Now, Revelations is but one example. Search your memory, or I'm looking here at this page of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. In the old days, it was Highway to Heaven. Michael Landon was some sort of angelic creature trucking across the highways. There was Touched by an Angel. Again, angels, a strong theme here. Seventh Heaven, a Christian family. A pastor, he's often shown in the pulpit. Joan of Arcadia, she talks with God. All the time, every episode. God's sometimes confusing. And then there's NBC's miniseries, Revelations, that tries to pull up some of the apocalyptic themes of Christianity into prime time as well. Are these religious themes good or bad for Christianity? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues, etc.
You might be tempted to think that the basic teachings of the Christian faith, the Ten Commandments, the Creed, the Lord's Prayer, Scripture's teaching on baptism, absolution, and the Lord's Supper, are the kind of things that you learn when you're a new Christian. But as you mature, you go on to bigger and better things. Nothing could be further from the truth. Our Issues, Etc. book of the month for April, The Lord Will Answer, a daily prayer catechism, grounds you in the essentials of the Christian faith in your daily devotions. The book is $14.99 plus shipping and handling. Call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, any weekday during regular business hours, 1-800-325-3040, and order the Issues, Etc. book of the month for April, The Lord Will Answer. For more information, go to our website, issuesetc.org. Right there on our homepage, you'll find information on the Issues, Etc. book of the month for April. The Lord will answer.
This is Family News in Focus. I'm Bob Dittmer. Black church leaders and conservative senators are pressing for an up or down vote as judicial nominee Janice Rogers Brown heads for the Senate floor. Bishop Harry Jackson is joining Senators Sessions of Alabama and Brownback of Kansas in touting the well-qualified nominee from California. Steve Jordahl reports.
Senate Republicans are lining up behind the two nominees that made it out of committee last week, Janice Rogers Brown and Priscilla Owen. Sam Brownback of Kansas.
Today we wanted to focus on Janice Rogers Brown. She's an outstanding, qualified nominee. She's been put forward for a long period of time, and it's just time to get a vote up or down.
Bishop Harry Jackson of Hope Christian Church says she's a single mother and the daughter of a sharecropper.
For black voters, she represents someone who would understand the struggle that blacks deal with.
Brown's opponents say her public statements put her far out of the mainstream. Rob Boston is with Americans United.
That type of rhetoric, you know, that there's a religious war underway and that there's a big cultural divide, that might be appropriate for a TV preacher, but it's jarring coming from someone who hopes to occupy a seat on a federal appeals court.
Few conservatives understand why acknowledging the obvious is somehow out of the mainstream. Claremont professor John Eastman says by attacking Brown, the Democrats are setting themselves up for a fall.
I would be delighted if the poster child for this obstruction campaign of the Democrats were Janice Brown. I can think of nothing more damaging to their long-term credibility.
Janice Rogers Brown is up for a seat on the prestigious D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals. For Family News in Focus, I'm Steve Jordahl.
Most of the opposition to Rogers Brown has been that she's a strict constructionist, meaning she interprets the Constitution as written instead of injecting personal opinion into her decisions. For Family News in Focus, I'm Bob Dittmer.
Have you tried and failed to live a purpose-driven life? Do your attempts to live a life that is pleasing to God fall so far short that you'd rather stay home from church? Then join Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church in Freeburg, where the focus isn't on you, but on Christ, who was made sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church is located at 612 North State Street in Freeburg. Their phone number, 618-539-5664.
How's your prayer life coming along? Our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April is a daily prayer book titled, The Lord Will Answer. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. Or you can find out more about this prayer resource on our website, issuesetc.org. The cost is $14.99 plus shipping and handling. The Lord Will Answer, our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April.
That's a hymn we're going to be studying tomorrow called Joy to the Heart. Pastor Will Whedon will be our guest, broadcasting live from Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church in Freeburg, Illinois. I know we have a lot of listeners in the Metro East. Everyone who shows up to that three-hour broadcast live from Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church in Freeburg, Illinois, right during our regular time, 3 to 6, everyone who shows up will receive a tape of our two-hour roundtable we just did with Dr. Larry Rass, Pastor Tom Baker, and Pastor Will Whedon. We were reviewing Joel Osteen's book, Your Best Life Now. Everyone who shows up, each and every person, will receive that two-hour tape of that review of Joel Osteen's book. It's tomorrow from 3 to 6 at Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church in Freeburg, Illinois. We'll also be giving away books and tape series and all those other things all the way throughout tomorrow's broadcast. Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church is at 612 State Street in Freeburg, Illinois, if I remember correctly. And that is basically Highway 15, just south of Belleville. As you come into Freeburg, you can't miss it. We'll be there tomorrow from 3 to 6. I want to see you there as well. You can also meet our guest, Pastor Matt Harrison. We have a roundtable of pastors, and Pastor Will Whedon will be right there on site as we review that hymn, Joy to the Heart, tomorrow on Issues, Etc. All right, the question I've laid on the table for you, TV Seeks Religion. We've had all these shows, Seventh Heaven, Revelations, Highway to Heaven, Touched by an Angel, Joan of Arcadia. Are these religious themes good for Christianity? These religious themes on television, are they good for Christianity? Are they bad for Christianity? Are they neutral? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Let's talk first with Jamie from West Virginia, listening on the Internet. Jamie, welcome.
Hey, I think it depends from individual to individual, because some people, I think some people are really lazy about what they believe. A while back, I fell into some serious sin, and I started asking myself what criteria am I using to evaluate myself other than just conservative feelings, you know? And I think it just depends. And a lot of people probably take that stuff for a grain of salt anyway. I mean, when you watch Sabrina the Teenage Witch, I don't think a lot of people seriously considering taking up witchcraft. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, with the other themes, Bewitched was the old show, Sabrina, Charmed that plays on the WB. It's more about cute girls than about Wicca or something like that. And I think it always has been. So do you think, like Joan of Arcadia, more about cute girls and a girl talking to a cute boy who might be God, might not be God, a homeless person who might or might not be God, is really more just about good entertainment than any serious religious themes?
Actually, I've never seen any of them. So I know that sounds like I've been under a rock, but I'm not much of a TV person.
You and I have been under the same rock, Jamie, so don't feel bad about it. Thanks for the call, and thanks for listening on the Internet as well. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Now, I did see Seventh Heaven this weekend, and I got to tell this. I saw it this weekend because they were having some sort of Seventh Heaven-a-thon, or I don't know what it is. They were showing them end-to-end, and it was my daughter. She likes the show. I think it's the cute boys. And I'm thinking to myself, this is a pleasant scenario, kind of Brady Bunch for the 20th century, 21st century. Dad and mom love each other. One might even go so far to say they're in love with each other. The kids are typical kids. The writing, yes, it's a little bit lame. The dad is a pastor. I even heard him in one episode mention the name of Jesus. And you don't hear that very often. So what about the rest of you? Have you watched any of these? Touched by an Angel, Seventh Heaven, Joan of Arcadia? My parents love Joan of Arcadia. They're retired. I don't know if it's the religious themes that draw them in. Do you think these religious themes on television are good for Christianity, bad for Christianity, or neither here nor there? Lisa calls from Houston, Texas, also listening on the Internet. Lisa, welcome.
Hello.
Hi, Lisa.
Hello, how are you?
Very well.
I see about 5 minutes of Joan of Arcadia because it's on another TV, just before another TV show. But with all of these in general, they've got some good points. If nothing else, they're getting people to talk about what does Scripture say and what does it not say. Touched by an Angel, I think every single episode they said something about how God loves you, which isn't a bad thing to say ever, but I'm so ambivalent about this because people will refuse to go to church or listen to sound doctrine, but they're going to build their theology on what Oprah Winfrey says. And I don't know, I can argue myself into yes, no, and maybe.
Lisa, thank you very much for the call. All right, now, I understand the difficulty of pinning this down. Because I just mentioned Seventh Heaven. You have some very positive moral themes at work in a program like that. And what parent wouldn't want their kid watching Seventh Heaven as opposed to The O.C.? Okay, so you have positive moral themes. But is this just more of a generic God for generic virtues? In other words, when you bring God into the picture, do we only let his big toe into the show? Well, he's there. He's kind of a character. He's part of the subplot that's always going on. But we never identify who he is. Not in any specific way. And the only way that this God manifests himself on some of these shows is generic virtues. Be nice to people. It's Joel Osteen's God. Come on. Be nicer to people. Stop being so mean and start being nicer. That's what God really wants. And that's all the farther God will interfere in your life. He'll show up occasionally, say, stop being so mean, and be nicer. You know, the one thing I do like about Joan of Arcadia, although I've only seen 1.5 episodes, and I was forced to watch those, is that the God in this universe of Joan of Arcadia, at least as far as I could tell, is not easily figured out. His ways are still mysterious. That's kind of the premise of the show, as far as I could tell. What about the rest of you? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. But that's hardly enough to keep me watching it or to recommend it. I mean, anybody can come up with a mysterious God. Jerry's calling from his car. Jerry, welcome.
Good afternoon, Todd, and appreciate your program. And I really appreciate this segment because it's helped me to analyze things better from a more scriptural point of view. And I basically have three things to say. One's good and two of them are not. The good thing is you have to compare it with the other garbage that's on the screen all the time, and in that respect, you know, probably adultery will not be considered favorable or other immoral activities, and so in that way it's better than the other stuff. But the two negatives are, I think, that one, if you can't hardly go to church and listen to a pastor and get good doctrine, why would you want to hear what a television writer thinks about doctrine? You don't get any of that. And secondly, the bad, the really worst thing is, I think, is that an average Joe Pagan could watch the show and think he's doing okay. And that by that would come away thinking, well, he's probably pleasing God by what he's doing. It's like you just said, it's a Joel Osteen type of God. And that's all I had to say.
Thank you very much, Jerry. Yeah, I like that Camden family. They're a sweet family. I like them a lot. And yeah, that he gets up in the pulpit every once in a while. He might even mention Jesus occasionally. But I like that style of religion. That, you know, that's the soft sell. Now, he makes a point. It's better than the other stuff. But does that mean it's good for Christianity, these religious themes? No one's going to argue that it rightly represents Christianity. You could hardly expect writers in Hollywood or elsewhere to rightly represent Christianity. When they do, let's give them their kudos. But, hey, it's better than the other stuff on television. And I think a lot of Christians will stand up and cheer when they see something like Touched by an Angel because it has a generally religious theme. God gets mentioned. And that's better than what they're doing on Law and Order. That's better than what they're doing on CSI. And I don't have to watch all the blood and the sex and the violence. Okay, so I'm looking at the front page of the Arts and Entertainment section from the St. Louis Post-Dispatch on Sunday. Gail Pennington wrote a story titled TV Seeks Religion, NBC's Risky Revelation Tries to Break Through the Taboo. My question for you is this. Are the religious themes on television in prime time good for Christianity, bad for Christianity, or neutral? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. It's Open Lines, Issues, Etc. We're coming to you live this Wednesday, April the 27th, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Are there any of these programs that you have watched or do watch? Highway to Heaven, you remember the one, Touched by an Angel, Seventh Heaven, Joan of Arcadia. There is one mentioned here, an HBO special, Carnival, unfamiliar with it, so I won't speak to it. And then there's the NBC miniseries, Revelations, that as far as I can tell is fairly well butchering any apocalyptic literature in the Bible, but God's a factor. They even have Jesus coming back. They've got an end-time scenario. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Do you think it's good for Christianity or bad for Christianity when TV seeks religion? DB calls from his car. DB, welcome.
Hey, thank you very much. I was thinking about this issue, and I think that sometimes it's worse for television shows to be close to kind of a pseudo-Christianity. The closer they are, I think the worse it is, because what happens is people develop kind of a false sense of Christian religion. It seems like the more fantasy-based they are, the more disconnected they are from reality, and sometimes I think then that's almost better than because I'll talk to friends at work, and they'll have a sort of religion like Christianity that's based on these television shows, and I think they're actually in some ways worse for us than if we have something that's so different from our Christian doctrine, like something like Sabrina the Teenage Witch or something like that, which is pure fantasy and more like fairy tales.
Interesting thought. So you think on the whole, not a benefit for Christianity. What about the rest of you? Bob calls from his car. Bob, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Well, thank you, Pastor. Overall, almost without exception, I think they're bad for Christianity.
Why so?
Well, they don't present the gospel, and you cannot present an accurate... They're ashamed of the gospel, or they're afraid of the gospel, and they don't present it, and they don't proclaim it. And without doing that, you can't accurately depict Christianity.
Right.
And anything short of that is just damning it with faint praise.
Bob, thank you very much. It's a good insight. It's what Pastor Day mentioned in that sermon we analyzed a little bit earlier on the program. A generic God for generic virtues. Now, the fact that many Christians can't tell the difference between the generic God for generic virtues and their God is somewhat telling. But maybe so far the listeners don't have a real positive view of these religious themes on television. Maybe there's someone out there who does. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. You know, looking at this article here and focusing in on Joan of Arcadia, am I right that the actual, what do they call it, a theme song? The music that they play at the beginning of the show. Is that song, What If God Was One of Us? Great grammar, by the way. What If God Was One of Us? Yeah. Now, see, I've always liked that song. But not for the reason that they use it on Joan of Arcadia. Joan of Arcadia says, what if God was one of us? Hey, that would make an interesting show. Then they have God kind of appearing in various guises. And yet, it's more entertaining than most of these shows. But I always thought to myself, you know, that it's a brilliant question. And it's one that's answered in the fact that God was and is one of us in the person of Jesus Christ. A slob just like the rest of us. Jesus Christ. He actually became one of us. You see, the question, it is a question that people are asking. That song asks it. Joan of Arcadia speculates about what it would be like if God actually came down and became one of us. That's a question that Christianity has the answer to. What happens when God becomes one of us? The cross happens. Now, you can pull that off one time and make it entertaining. Mel Gibson did it once. You can't do it twice. And be entertaining. If you want to call The Passion of the Christ entertaining. But people paid money to see it. Would you just prefer that primetime television leave religion out of it entirely? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Paul calls from High Ridge. Paul, welcome.
Hi, Todd. I would say that the majority of these programs are about as Christian thematic as Buffy the Vampire Slayer. I don't think that they do anything for us. They present a false view of Christianity. If anything, they help support American civil religion. I have seen some of the most horrendous things on Joan of Arcadia, which I can't stand to watch. This present program about Revelations, which is thoroughly disreputable in terms of its biblical accuracy. And it's not only being played on NBC, but anything that NBC owns, such as USA Network, the Sci-Fi Channel, which is international. So they're spewing this trash in pretense of a religiosity that I don't think is beneficial in the long term.
Paul, thanks. Okay, now, Paul falls into the category, some of our listeners, Paul's probably the more extreme case of this gets under his skin. I don't think I'm misrepresenting him in saying that. And he would prefer that religion be left out of the primetime lineup because they do tend to butcher it. Well, I can't get that worked up about it. I'll be honest with you, folks. I kind of tend toward, I mean, I see it. Does it annoy me slightly? Yeah, most of the time it annoys me. I'll be honest with you, I am less annoyed with the depiction of religious life and of Christianity in something like The Simpsons. And I actually laugh at that because it's funny. I have often thought that the writers for The Simpsons could produce issues, etc. at times, because they see the... they don't mock religion. They mock what is genuinely ridiculous about American pop Christianity. For that matter, if you stay up late enough, you get to watch The Daily Show. Now, Stephen Colbert is one of the correspondents, that's in quotes, on The Daily Show, because it's a fake news. And he has a feature that's on there quite often nowadays called This Week in God. Have you seen it? It's hilarious. I'm sorry. Is it sacrilegious? I don't know. He's a devout Catholic. But he does This Week in God. And they talk about all different kinds of religious issues. And will you disagree with it? Yeah, but I've actually learned to laugh at things I disagree with. And that's where I usually find myself when I'm watching one of these shows that incorporates religious themes into primetime television, kind of snickering at it rather than really getting my blood pressure up about it. But maybe, now see, Paul doesn't like it actively. I can't get that worked up about it. Maybe someone out there does like it. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Hey, at least they're talking about God. Andy calls from Kirkwood. Welcome, Andy.
Hi, Todd. Just wondering, you know, we used to have This Is the Life was on network television back when television was young. Is anybody actually producing Christian programming that could be offered to these networks?
It is. They are, but it has fallen. It has all fallen into the Christian ghetto of broadcasting. It has. I think we still got a program that's run on 46, so I don't get 46 on my cable. So I don't know. I don't know what to say about it. Well, you know what I remember? I remember Davy and Goliath, overtly religious, although, you know, there was probably, at least in some seasons of it, an occasional mention of the cross. But most of the time it was these little claymation figures doing rather transparent morality plays. The dog was the most theologically astute character on the entire thing, including the pastors sometimes. That would be Goliath, I think. But there's a cultural icon that was produced by a Lutheran church body for years. And you just ask anybody who's of boomer age about Davy and Goliath, and they know exactly what you're talking about. What do you remember about Davy and Goliath? All the time that Davy fell down in the cave and hurt his ankle and they thought he was going to die. And he prayed. And lo and behold, Dad came and rescued him. Still kind of a generic god for generic virtues. I mean, everybody likes praying. And everyone's system kind of incorporates the idea that you could pray and that God might answer your prayer. In most episodes, nothing distinctly Christian, even though it was being produced by for a national audience by what was at the time a very orthodox Christian church body. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. And I don't think that ran on religious television. I think that was on regular network television, at least where I was growing up, every Sunday morning right before Oral Roberts. Ann calls from Crestwood. Ann, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Oh, good afternoon. I am a watcher of Joan of Arcadia when I get the chance, and I guess I enjoy the characters a bit, but there doesn't seem to be any mention of Christ. It's always, I guess, the generic God, and the season finale last week was, I think, Joan's getting ready to take on the devil. There's a character that must be the devil, I think.
Not a good turn for this show.
Pardon?
They don't need to do that on the show.
I know, but I think that's going to be the opener for next season. The kind of programs that get my blood boiling are science programs, especially on Channel 9, I guess, where the premise is always evolution. That really upsets me. It seems a waste of time to even watch the program when we know that that isn't the way things are. So what they're putting on is like a fairy tale.
And you,
that bothers me more.
Thank you, Ann. You have pointed out something very interesting, though. And that is, know, we've had this conversation here about religious themes in primetime television. There's more than one way to slice that onion. There are religious themes in all of television, even those shows that presuppose evolution as a worldview. I mean, there's no doubt about it. A thoroughgoing evolutionary view of the world is a metaphysical system. It is a faith, small f, a religious system. It's one that excludes God. It is an atheistic religious system, but it is every bit of religion as any other. It is. So there they are, too. Although, you know, maybe it's just me and my low blood pressure. I have a hard time getting worked up about those ones, too. And I guess my attitude is, what do you expect? What I wonder is, what would happen if the real theme of Christianity actually made it to primetime television? It did in Mel Gibson's The Passion of the Christ. But as I said before, you can do that once. Christianity makes lousy entertainment. Real, live Christianity, the real Christian faith, the cross of Jesus Christ, makes lousy entertainment. Churches could learn a little something by watching television and watching the failures of these themes on TV, or what you have to knock off of the Christian faith in order to make it palatable to a primetime audience. If you want something that does not knock the corners off the cross, it's our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April. The Lord Will Answer, a daily prayer catechism, Christ-centered, cross-focused, grounded in God's Word. It's a daily devotional book, all 365 days of the year. The book is $14.99 plus shipping and handling. If you want more information, go to our website, issuesetc.org. Look for an image of the book, The Lord Will Answer, a daily prayer catechism, and you'll find more information there. Or call Concordia Publishing House any weekday during regular business hours, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, and ask for the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April. It's The Lord Will Answer, a daily prayer catechism, $14.99 plus shipping and handling, 1-800-325-3040. When we come back, hour three of Issues Etc., Uwe Simonetta will join us at the beginning for our religion roundup. He's religious affairs editor for United Press International, and we will be talking with him largely about Cardinal Ratzinger, who is now Benedict XVI. What does this mean for Catholicism? What does this mean for Christendom? And then Doug Johnson will join us a little later in the third hour to talk about the Child Interstate Abortion Notification Act. This is a bill that is now being considered by the U.S. House of Representatives and is slated to move on to the Senate. We'll find out what it is later in the next hour. Stay tuned.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for Issues Etc. to continue. Our address is Post Office Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri 63117. Or you can contact us via our website at www.issuesetc.org. That's www.issuesetc.org. For a cassette copy of the program, call 1-800-737-0172. That's 1-800-737-0172. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of this station or the Jubilee Network. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.